What's going on, y'all? It's King Spider-Man from the cast of Atlanta Hitmakers, the cast of Atlanta's Ugly, Fed Squad Entertainment. We did the Stoner's Ball ATL 2021. If you missed it, you missed the big one, November 19th. We're doing it again this year, November 18th. And if you don't know, that is the Friday before Thanksgiving. That's before Black Friday, you know what I'm saying? And right in the middle of the month, you know what I'm saying? So don't be talking about you broke and you can't go to the Stoner's Ball, you know what I'm saying? Don't be talking about you ain't got no weed, because we gonna give you weed at the door. Anyway, as you can tell, it's just me. We on Instagram Live also. Shout out to everybody who's joining me on Instagram Live. Shout out to 285 Radio Show, DJ Truck God. I'm going to go fuck with him later on tonight. If y'all ain't doing nothing tonight, man, y'all go out there and fuck with DJ Truck God. I think he said he was going to be at two spots tonight, the Lacura and the, I can't remember the name of the other one, but it's on Old National. Anyway, Crave Reviews. My name is King Spider-Man, like I said before. And so Crave Reviews has normally been me and my business partners, and we would, you know, sit at the round table, set the mics up and just talk about superhero stuff, because we all like superhero stuff, especially now with all the movies. Shout out to the makers of Blade, because Blade is what ushered in this era of movies. I don't care what nobody say. But on today's Crave Reviews, I wanted to talk about something that's not normally considered superhero stuff, which is Disney. So, and it kind of makes me wonder, like, damn, am I really a fan of Disney like I think I am? Because every time I think about Disney, I think about Disney properties. I think about Darkwing Duck. I think about DuckTales. I think about Tailspin, Goof Troop, you know what I'm saying? And growing up, I enjoyed those shows so much. I watched them every day. Every time they came on, I came home from school. You know what I'm saying? It was real for me. And they've done a lot of rebooting of old properties. You know what I'm saying? Bringing them up to CGI and shit. Like, Sega just... I don't know if it was necessarily Sega, but they did just... Well, I guess they got the credit. At least I would give them the credit. They did the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. And I gotta admit, at first Sonic was looking suspect. He was looking creepy. You know what I'm saying? But then the internet, I seen something on Facebook. The internet bullied him, or bullied the studio into changing the look of Sonic the Hedgehog. A lot of y'all might not know that. But yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog, he was looking like, you know, it was kind of realistic. Well, let's just say it was more realistic. But the realism for a character like Sonic the Hedgehog is kind of creepy. And that's exactly how it came off. And enough people noticed it. They did their thing on the internet, and the studio changed that shit. It worked out, especially because they cast Dr. Robotnik. And the way they did the story, you know, they brought Sonic into the real world, but they made it to where he was from another world, you know what I'm saying? So he crossed dimensions into quote unquote Green Hills, you know what I'm saying? So he crossed dimensions all the way into Green Hills, which is the first level on Sonic, you know what I'm saying? And he go about his business, and Dr. Robotnik just so happens to have been an actual scientist, you know what I'm saying, on regular Earth, who the government hired to try to find him. You know what I'm saying? Spoilers for Sonic the Hedgehog, by the way, sorry. But yeah, perfect casting in Jim Carrey, perfect writing, you know what I'm saying? And just keeping it real, the movie was, you could tell it was aimed at a specific audience, but it was still good. You know what I'm saying? And it made a fan like me, who have someone who has been a fan of Sonic the Hedgehog since his inception back in the day. I can't remember if it was the 80s or the 90s, but it was back in the day. And for me to see that come to life on the big screen was a big deal for me, because I honestly thought they was going to mess that up. I thought they was going to fuck that up royally. They did the Detective Pikachu movie. That was a pleasant surprise. And to be honest, most of the Pokemon movies that I've seen are all good. But that Detective Pikachu movie was on another level. I heard some people say, you know, some of the Pokemon in the movie were looking kind of creepy. And I can agree. You know what I'm saying? I can see where, you know what I'm saying, that line of thought would come from. But to be honest, it was better for me because it was dark, but it was still Pokemon. You know what I'm saying? And it felt more like this shit could actually be going on. You know what I'm saying? Wreck-It Ralph is not necessarily a reboot of something old, but it's still had a whole bunch of old characters in there, and those characters were done well. You know what I'm saying? For what they were supposed to be in that movie, they were done pretty well. So I was on the internet this morning and I ran across a trailer for one of my favorite shows from the Disney block back in the day, just wrapping it back around to Disney. And it was Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. Chip and Dale and the Rescue Rangers. And I gotta say, I was excited. And when I pressed play, I was a little disappointed by the end. Not necessarily completely disappointed, because, you know, it's a Chip and Dale movie. You know what I'm saying? And if you are an actual fan of Chip and Dale and the Rescue Rangers, then you're like, okay, this is going to be exciting. I can't see what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, blue, 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 blah, blah, blah. But the way they chose to do it, and if you haven't seen the trailer, you can go online. I'm not spoiling anything. You know, you can go online and look it up for yourself. But okay, so the way they got the movie, it seems to me like, well, it doesn't seem to me, they're telling you that basically Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers was a TV show back in the day. They had a whole lot of success, a whole lot of crossover success. You know, they worked with a lot of other characters from other properties, other big studios, and they failed, just like any other true Hollywood story. You know what I'm saying? They did their thing. They had their 15 minutes of fame, and for some reason the 15 minutes of fame ran out. Monterey Jack, turns out his obsession with cheese is like crack, and he's strung out on cheese. Chip and Dale, they really kind of just quit, you know what I'm saying, did their own thing. Dale gets CGI surgery. I guess that's supposed to be their equivalent to Botox or plastic surgery. I didn't see Zipper in the trailer, not like as far as like what he's doing. I didn't see Gadget, at least I don't remember seeing Gadget. But basically, there's a studio trying to bring back their show, and they're like, nah, we don't want to do that. And it goes from there. I can't really. There's some kind of monster in the end of the trailer that looks like some type of Voltron mix of whatever characters they may or may not have run across throughout the movie. And it looks like it's going to be interesting, to say the least. But for me, as a fan of Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers, and really just well, at least I thought I was a Disney fan. You know what I'm saying? I'm not really that impressed or excited for this. And that's just keeping it real. And not to belittle what this studio has done with this property, because it takes a lot of money to go into these movies, takes a lot of time and effort. A lot of people, they put their heart and soul into these stories. So I don't want to downplay anybody's creative work, but I got a few pointers. Because me being a writer myself, as a matter of fact, you can download my book right now on Amazon, The Red Bricks of Krusk, Volume 1, Tale of the Guardians by King Spider-Man, illustrated by Vaughn Morrow. And I got the deluxe edition coming soon. That will be illustrated by EIM Creative Studios. I think I said that right. Shout out to Area 51, my boy Nate, that boy Hectic the Backpacker. But anyway, back to Rescue Rangers. So one thing that I would actually try to tell Disney is to keep in mind is that the people who were fans of the original show, keep in mind, okay, so we're going to start this off like this. This is how we're going to do this. We are going to go over who Chip and Dale, who the show is, who know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to misquote anything, you know. Yeah, I don't want to misquote anything. Sorry, I had to make sure I had everything right. So Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. This was a show that was created in, let's see, 1989. March 1st, premiered on Disney Channel, March 4th, 1989, after a preview episode was aired on August 27th, 1988. So this show has been around since the 80s, since the late 80s. I believe I was about 5 or 6 around this time. And the final episode aired November 19th, 1990. Now, this is a pretty old show, needless to say. The people who were fans of this show were all, you know, 30 plus. You know what I'm saying? So, and we've grown, we've matured in our ideas and our interests. So okay, shout out to everybody that's joined me from Instagram Live. Just so you know, yes, this is my podcast. This is a podcast called Crave Reviews. If you just join me, I talk about superhero shit as it pertains to me and my interests and hip-hop culture as a whole. Make sure you tune in. It's on Spotify. I got episodes on everywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Anyway, like I was saying, the core audience for Chippendale Rescue Rangers is 30 plus. And I think Disney needs to really keep that in mind, because it just seems like they're still aiming for a core audience that hasn't really heard of these characters, which is, I guess, is cool. But if you're going to do something from that far back, you have to kind of mature your ideas in a way. Like, the way they... Okay, so a beautifully, beautifully done Disney rebooted origin story. They did it during the new series of DuckTales. I don't know if you watch DuckTales, but I like DuckTales. I used to watch DuckTales back in the day when they had the little Disney block cartoons that came on in the afternoon. Love DuckTales, you know what I'm saying? So when they brought DuckTales back, it seems like they used DuckTales as a gateway to introduce other Disney heroes and Disney characters. So far on DuckTales, I have seen Darkwing Duck. I have seen, Kick Cloud Kicker from Tailspin. Now, I don't remember seeing Goofy. Don't remember seeing, when I was doing my research earlier, they said that Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers do appear on the DuckTales reboot. So, clearly I missed that episode. Unless they presented it as a television show also. If they presented it as a television show also, then I definitely just missed that part. Or I probably seen it and just don't remember it. I watch a lot of stuff. But they use DuckTales to kind of introduce a universe. And with Darkwing Duck, they told a story that made so much sense. They took the same premise that they're doing with Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers for the movie. This was a TV show back in the day, and now we're doing a reboot. You know what I'm saying? Studio wants to do a reboot. But they set it in the Disney world, in opposed to setting it in the real world. Why the fuck would you? I don't want to see my characters in the real world. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, they set it in the Disney world. And they created the conflict to where it made sense, and it created an origin story for one of Darkwing Duck's biggest, most dangerous villains, Negaduck. Now, Negaduck is a character that I've always wondered, like, where does he come from? And I have combed Darkwing Duck. I didn't do it today, but I've done it before. And then unless they've added something, which I doubt, I have yet to find a definitive origin for the original version of Negaduck from back in the day. So with this DuckTales reboot, they actually told that story, and it was so beautifully done. And spoilers for DuckTales, if you haven't seen these episodes, I highly recommend you watch these episodes. The first episode in question is for Negaduck's origin. I believe it's called, I just finished watching it. What the hell was it called? I just finished watching it. It's not Let's Get Dangerous. Let's Get Dangerous is also a two-part episode that aired during the same series, DuckTales, during the DuckTales reboot. Shout out to the people who rebooted DuckTales, because they did a beautiful job. I love Gizmo Duck. I love the inclusion of Della Duck and the whole moon plot. I mean, whoever was writing on this show, they knew what they were doing, and they loved the source material, because you can just tell. So the origin story of the new origin story for Darkwing Duck is an episode of DuckTales, the new reboot now, called The Duck Knight Returns. Because Darkwing Duck is a parody riff on, or riff, or whatever you want to call it, on Batman. And fun fact, Darkwing Duck is actually listed as one of the as having one of the top rogues galleries in fiction. You know what I'm saying? Because he is a riff on other heroes. You know what I'm saying? So he has riffs on Flash villains, he has riffs on Spider-Man villains, and he has riffs on Batman villains. He even has his own Justice League called the Justice Ducks. You know what I'm saying? The Justice Ducks. That's basically what it is. And they were pretty formidable, you know what I'm saying? Pretty confident, you know what I'm saying? Except for maybe the dinosaur kid, but he was just a kid. He was like the Hulk, you know what I'm saying? Or like their muscle. But anyway, so in this origin story, the guy who played Darkwing Duck, named Jim Starling, he actually he had his run in Hollywood, and now he sells cars. And he gets wind of them shooting a movie, just shooting a Darkwing Duck reboot. You know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be dark and gritty. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the Batman shit, just like how they did Batman. They turned it from being more campy to the Batman that we know and love today. But but he has no knowledge of this. So he, you know, immediately goes down to the studio. They're like, no, you're not in the movie. He gets mad, tries to ruin the movie, ends up getting blowed up, you know what I'm saying, in a fight, trying to fight Drake Mallard. Drake Mallard, that's the beauty of it. Drake Mallard is the guy that they got to play the new Darkwing Duck in the new movie. You know what I'm saying? So Jim Starlin, he goes down there, like I said, he tries to ruin the movie, tries to kill Drake Mallard, and of course he fails. But during the episode, this is the beautiful part, during the episode, you can slowly see Jim Starlin just descend deeper and deeper and deeper into his madness. Like, and I know this is Disney, and I know this is a kid show, but if you look at this through adult eyes, I guess, you know what I'm saying? You can see he does little things, says little things, little quirks in his voice, you know what I'm saying? You can see him slowly descend into madness until the climax, he gets blowed up. Of course, he survives, but when you see him again, he's in the sewer. You know what I'm saying? His Darkwing Duck costume to change color. Guess what color it changed to? Motherfucking yellow, red, and black. And that nigga is crazy as hell. Boom. There's Nigga Duck. That was beautiful. You know what I'm saying? And then the next time you see Darkwing Duck, those episodes are called, let's see, you got the Duck Knight Returns. Let's Get Dangerous. Two-parter, you know what I'm saying? They actually go to St. Canard, you know what I'm saying? And apparently, one of Darkwing Duck's enemies from back in the day, Taurus Bulba, is a scientist in this reality. He's trying to create this reality, this breach device. If you watch The Flash, you know what I'm talking about. He wants to create a device. Well, he has created a device for him and this other scientist that would take you to another dimension. So he done betrayed the other scientists, sent them to a dimension, and his granddaughter is now trying to sabotage his work. His granddaughter is fucking Gosling. And just like in the old one, Taurus Bulba did kidnap her grandfather in the old one too, but this one is more compelling because he's not just some street crime lord. You know what I'm saying? He's this big shot scientist. And he so happens to work for Scrooge McDuck. So that's what brings us to St. Canard. He's called Scrooge McDuck, telling him that he had this new tech, this new invention that was gonna make a lot of money. So Scrooge McDuck and the crew, they go out there to check it out. You know what I'm saying? Meanwhile, Launchpad and Dewey, they go to holler at Darkwing Duck, Drake Mallard, who had decided to continue to be Darkwing Duck after the fiasco with the Darkwing Duck movie reboot. Which I thought was dope, and they made it realistic. He got all the tech in the world, all the tech that he needed in his tower. You know what I'm saying? And they did something that was dope. They let Gizmo Duck, but not Gizmo Duck per se, just Fenton Crackshell help him with all his tech problems. And all he sees of Fenton is his heads up display. He doesn't know that Fenton is actually fucking Gizmo Duck, because he hates Gizmo Duck. You know what I'm saying? But Fenton is his guy. That's his dude. That's his tech guy. You know what I'm saying? So the way they created that was dope. You know what I'm saying? And they brought in Gosling. She's already trained. She's already capable. You know what I'm saying? Boom. There's your Quivering Wing Quack. They did Darkwing Duck so beautiful. And then turned around and decided, hey, let's do Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers. But instead, we're going to do it the way we did with Darkwing Duck. But instead, we're going to make it in the real world. You know what I'm saying? And they don't even want to do it. And it's like, I just wanted to see Darkwing Duck take down... I mean, not Darkwing Duck. I just wanted to see the Rescue Rangers take down Fat Cat. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, so this, hear me out. This is what y'all could have did. First of all, with Chip and Dale. If you know what I'm saying, just the maturity ideas. Keep in mind that your core audience, the people who you made this movie for, because you didn't make this movie for the kids today. You know what I'm saying? If you did, you're tripping. Because the people who actually know and love these characters are 30 plus. So you gotta mature the ideas a little bit. The way all you gotta do is, okay, so you had these characters. They all had skills that could be that they were using, but on a childlike level. They were using it on the level to where a child could understand it. Simply because, you know, of the core audience. But now that these children are grown now. These children are grown now. So when you do these ideas, you got to mature the ideas. One way to do it, Chip. He was supposed to be the leader. And, of course, the smartest one as far as, like, you know, tactics and things in that nature. Why don't you expand upon that in the more mature reboot and make him more of a detective? You know what I'm saying? With Dale, not sure people will agree with what I'm saying about Dale, but I think it would be cool if Dale was still goofy as fuck, but he was super observant. Like he don't miss shit. You know what I'm saying? To the point where, you know, everybody else kind of think he's a little nosy. But really, he just don't miss shit. He's sharp. You know what I'm saying? His mind's sharp, but he's goofy. You know what I'm saying? He just be on some goofy shit. You know what I'm saying? Now, the number one thing about most movies is the villains. I looked at this trailer. I didn't see Fat Cat. I didn't see Dr. Nimno. These are the two main villains that they mostly go up against that I can remember. Even when you look it up on Wikipedia, those are the two amongst henchmen, other than henchmen, that they have. Now, if you were planning to do a trilogy with these movies, how I would do it, you got two henchmen, you got two main villains. One of these villains has a clan of henchmen. Fat Cat, he has a clan of henchmen. So, on your first movie, you got it was one henchman that they mentioned on Wiki that they said was barely seen. I believe he was a rat. His name is Snout. You know what I'm saying? He's a rat henchman. He wears a short sleeve red turtleneck with a black vest, dark blue hat, covers his eyes. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of dark. You know what I'm saying? That's a little mysterious. So he could be the leader of the henchmen. You know what I'm saying? The other henchmen, we got Meeps, a thin yellow alley cat. We got Mole, who's an actual mole, overweight mole. And then we got Wart. He's a lizard. You know what I'm saying? All these guys work for Fat Cat. So it would be so cool. You know what I'm saying? Had the first movie where all these guys work for Fat Cat. Then you know what I'm saying, whatever they're doing, it's you know what I'm saying, it culminates to them finding out that this rat guy is behind it all, only to find out that he actually works for Fat Cat. Then you can, that sets up Fat Cat for part two. But hold on, there's more. It's during this first adventure, you can have an incident that makes Professor Nimno, I think I said Dr. Nimno before, but Professor Nimno, he'll make the decision to become this mad scientist that he's portrayed in the original show. I mean, it's just that simple. So, yeah. Rescue Rangers. Go on YouTube. Check that shit out. When we come back, I am going to talk about more of the things that I think the Rescue Rangers movie could have done or could do to be more satisfying to its original audience. And we're back. My name is King Spider-Man, and you are now tuned into Crave Reviews, the show where we talk about superhero shit, all superhero shit as it pertains to hip-hop and the shit that I like personally. Because it's all about me. I'm narcissist. No, I'm just playing. Anyway, like I said before, it's just me, no cast. All my partners are busy. We have been going through a lot of things. We are kind of restructuring our whole Fresh Entertainment conglomerate. If you want to check out our latest thing, you can go to any of our Instagrams. That's at Boss Frank. I think that's underscore Boss Frank. Or you can go to King Spider-Man 720. The Red Brick Saga. That's the underscore red underscore bricks underscore saga. Or you can go to Stoner's Ball ATL. You can follow Angel Baby. I think that's Angel underscore baby. Or no. I think it's I am underscore angel underscore baby. Something like that. Just look up Angel Baby on Instagram. You'll find it. You can also find Sonoku the God. That's Sonikkuthegod, I think. Yeah, and of course you can follow Atlanta Hitmakers. That's Atlanta underscore hit Atlanta score makers. These are all Instagram accounts. We are always active and we answer our DMs. So if you want to slide in our DMs for any reason at all, you can. Back to the matter at hand. We're talking about this Rescue Rangers movie. And like I said before, man, I'm not trying to belittle anybody's creative creation, anybody's movie. Clearly, the people who made this movie were picked for a reason. And that doesn't always mean that the movie is going to be great. Doesn't always mean the movie is going to be good. But me personally, until I actually see the entire movie, I don't want to say it's good or bad. I can say that I am skeptical and not really happy and kind of disappointed with the route they chose to take as far as the storyline goes. And I spent my whole first segment, most of my first segment, talking about Darkwing Duck and other ideas that I may have for a Rescue Rangers movie if it was left up to me. One thing I wanted to talk about as far as that, Professor Nimnal. Now, Professor Nimnal is actually the only human villain they have that they had listed. And, you know, at first I thought, you know, I used to think that he didn't really know about them, but clearly he does. You know what I'm saying? I just watched an old episode in preparation for the podcast. It was a popular episode, The Carpetbaggers. Something about The Carpetbaggers. But in this particular episode, Professor Nimnal had created a device that controls carpets, specially made carpets that he made himself with special circuitry in them. So he would sell these carpets to people. They would, you know, sit their valuables and stuff on top of these carpets. And then late night, he would activate his device and have the carpets fly to him. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of dope. You know what I'm saying? And it got me to thinking. It was like, okay, so the Rescue Rangers are essentially rodents. You know, chipmunks, mice, a fly. You know what I'm saying? A human would be a fitting Thanos or a fitting, you know, final boss. You know what I'm saying? A competent human. And a scientist like Professor Nimnal, because I remember other episodes where he's just trying to do scientific work and or scientific experiments, and they come and they stop his scientific experiments. So it's like, okay, you can start them off street level. First movie, start them off street level. They're fighting Fat Cat's henchmen. Whatever they're doing is going to... I thought of something crazy earlier. Maybe they could be trying to create a whistle that will call predatory animals to the city and run all the humans out of the city. we can let's just run with that. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot you can do with that. At least there's a lot I could do with that. So it's like, damn, what are y'all? Is this one? I wonder if this is one of the ideas on the wall. You know what I'm saying? Because in the writer's room, most of the time you'll have like just a blackboard or a whiteboard, and you know, they'll throw ideas up there. You know what I'm saying? So I wonder if they thought of something like that. Because that's what I would have done for the first movie. That's the whole first movie. You know what I'm saying? The Rescue Rangers versus this group of henchmen. And they only see three of them at first. And then when they get to the end, that's when you meet the last one, the guy that you barely see. He even says in Wikipedia that you barely see him. And once this guy is defeated, boom, that's when you find out he's really working for Fat Cat. Now, during this first adventure, they fuck around and they ruin the life of Professor Nimnol. So, in the second movie, while the Rescue Rangers are dealing with Fat Cat, we can weave Professor Nimnol in there. You know what I'm saying? You have Professor Nimnol manipulating certain events. After they deal with Fat Cat, here comes the third movie. Boom, Professor Nimnol. And that's your finale. You know what I'm saying? He's a scientist. There's a lot you could do with that. You know what I'm saying? He could. I have a scientist. His name is Dr. Eric Sin. Eric Thaddeus Sin. And I have a storyline that where I'm not going to spoil the storyline, but he basically created a device to cause a natural disaster that would lead to extinction. And I had my hero stop him. You know what I'm saying? So when you have a scientist involved, you can literally damn near do anything. You know what I'm saying? Just like I was saying with the Darkwing Duck episode, the origin. It wasn't the origin, but it was like his first big adventure. His first time out against any supervillain, he went up against Taurus Bulba, the Liquidator, Dr. Bushroot, Quackerjack, and Megavolt, all at the same time. But really, it was just Taurus Bulba. You know what I'm saying? Because Taurus Bulba, like I said, he's a scientist. He creates this device that opens rifts into other realities based on a theory by another doctor whose theory was that every fictional world, every fictional story is an actual reality that you can travel to. And him and this other scientist, Goslin's grandfather, Taurus Bulba and Goslin's grandfather, Dr. Waldemeyer, they actually cracked this other scientist's equation or problem or whatever you will call it in the scientific community. Y'all please forgive me. But they cracked this code and opened up breaches to other realities. So Taurus Bulba actually brought the Liquidator, Quackerjack, Dr. Bushroot, and Megavolt to this reality. Like that, the Darkwing Duck was just beautiful. Darkwing Duck was just beautiful. But you know what I'm saying? Like, and within that story, you get Taurus Bulba actually breaks his horn. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is how you just develop your characters. You know what I'm saying? And people who are actual fans of these characters, this is the type of character development we want to see, because we're fucking grown now. You know what I'm saying? We like, the silly shit is cool. You know what I'm saying? But put a cap on that shit. You know what I'm saying? Come like, mature it a little bit to where it still appeals to kids to humans who are underage, you know what I'm saying? Under the age of 16. But us adults can still enjoy it because you still gave us a upgraded version of what we loved about the character initially. But moving right along, Another thing I said that I wanted to tell Disney, if I was able to tell Disney, if they were going to create these characters or bring these characters to a movie, you know what I'm saying, and have them go on an actual adventure, you know what I'm saying, they don't have to make them as silly as they were or as ridiculous as they were. You know, it doesn't have to be that ridiculous. They can be funny. Basically, what I have written is show them being competent heroes with funny quirks. You know what I'm saying? And I know this has been said before, but all of these other studios, they could learn a lot from Marvel. They can learn a lot from Star Wars. Marvel and Star Wars are, well, Star Wars not so much, but Marvel and Star Wars are basically the standard for cinematic universes. If you're going to create a cinematic universe, there's your blueprint right there. Two successful franchises, and Star Wars has done it for way longer. It just did it differently. Marvel set out to do a cinematic universe. Star Wars set out to do a trilogy. You know what I'm saying? And then they came back and was like, you know what? We can expand on this shit. And they expanded the fuck out of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Comic books. Books. Regular books. Video games. Role-playing games. Like, they really expanded on the lore of Star Wars. You know what I'm saying? And it's not... The Rescue Rangers... Like, they're not traditional superheroes, you know what I'm saying? They're not Star Wars by far. They're not Marvel by far. But there's enough there to where you can... I don't mean just do exactly what Marvel's doing. Don't create the Disney Avengers. I'm not saying that. But you have unique characters, you know what I'm saying? Lean into that in opposed to trying to make it like, oh, the studio wants to do it. Studio wants to do this and... Man, oh man, I was just like, but I can say this though. This is what I can say. I'm probably going to see it. I can't say I'll go to the movies to see it though. I wouldn't be surprised if they just released this on Disney Plus same day like they do the other movies. I don't see why not, you know. Warner Brothers did that shit to The Matrix, and now they looking crazy because that those people who put the money in with them looking at them crazy because they ain't making any money back. So now they ain't finna give you no money because they ain't making the money back because y'all did the wrong thing. Anyway, that's not my business. Anyway. Oh, well, it is public knowledge, though, so if you want to know, you can look it up. But Warner Brothers actually, so the company that puts the money up with Warner Brothers, I can't remember the name of them, but they had a dispute with Warner Brothers because Warner Brothers released The Matrix day and date, meaning in the movies and on their streaming service. And the other company is claiming that because they released it that way, mind you, the agreement was for them not to release it that way. Because they released it that way, though, that company lost money. And Warner Brothers is saying, oh, y'all didn't even pay for the your half of the production costs. But these guys are like, but you broke contract. The fuck? Yeah. Now, I did write down some shit about the Rescue Rangers saving the world from an extinction level event. But then I went back and was like, maybe just to see. Because these are rodents. You know what I'm saying? It ain't but so much they can do so far. You can take them to where it's like, okay, come on now. They're just fucking mice and chipmunks. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know it's Disney and all, but there's only so far you can go with that. But yeah, the city just had them like protecting that city the way, you know what I'm saying? Like it's their whole world. Because it basically is. That's where all their shit goes down, you know what I'm saying? Now, if I'm not mistaken, Monterey Jack is supposed to be from Australia. But for the most part, they stay in that little city. They might go to the outskirts, but they don't really go like to Africa, or we gotta go to Russia and shit. You know what I'm saying? And if they have, it'd be like for a mission and then come back. It's no extended period of time. It's not like they're the Justice League. They just be everywhere. So in my opinion, that kind of makes things easier. You know what I'm saying? You can create it to where it looks big, but it's really just right here in this city. Another thing that can be revamped or retconned or whatever. It's a thing that is common in superhero fiction for the law enforcement, the police, to be either incompetent or completely corrupt. How about we switch it up? Make the police competent. You know what I'm saying? To where they actually, dare I say, might have a confidant amongst the police force that might help them on their adventure. I mean, come on now. You got these rodents running around doing all this shit. Somebody gonna see them. Also, building on the cinematic universe of it all, instead of doing the Chippendale Rescue Rangers movie, why don't you just create an animated universe on Disney Plus? You know, you've already laid around the groundwork with DuckTales, so come on with Darkwing Duck next. Come on with Rescue Rangers and Tailspin. You know what I'm saying? Those are really your properties where you'll have actual heroes come out of. Goof Troop, not so much. You know what I'm saying? That's basically about a single dad trying to raise his kid. But I mean, it would be dope to have, you know, Max and Goofy appear. You know what I'm saying? But as far as like actually participating, I don't see that one. But between Tailspin, Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, you have action adventure. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not speaking for the entire fan base, but I know me, because of how I am, I want to see some action adventure with these characters from back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Because I know they're capable of doing these action adventure type things. And they've actually done me. Like, to be honest, until I started back watching DuckTales, I didn't realize that this family were adventurers on purpose. When I used to watch it back in the day, I was under the impression that things were just happening to them. But apparently, they, like, Scrooge McDuck is a retired adventurer, and he's rich because of all his adventures, and he's incredibly long lived. You know what I'm saying? So when Donald Duck comes along, Donald and Huey, Dewey, and Louie, you know what I'm saying? He's retired. He's like, you know what I'm saying? I'm chilling with my money, running my corporation. Old enemies come back. And that's the premise of DuckTales. You know what I'm saying? Now, amongst all the stuff that goes on, you have to deal with enemies like, there's this organization called FOUL. If I'm not mistaken, what does it stand for? Fiendish Something or another. I don't remember what FOUL stands for. Matter of fact, let's see what FOUL stands for right quick. We are... But basically, what my point is, they could have set the Rescue Rangers in the same universe. Now, they didn't have to do what they did with Darkwing Duck, but they could just, you know, have them in there. You know what I'm saying? Oh, there it is. Fiendish Organization for World Larceny. Wow. That is on the nose. I had no idea that's what that's all these years. I mean, I probably did, but I just forgot. But that is very on the nose. Fiendish Organization for World Larceny. That is a... They're like the Hydra of Disney. Of this corner of the Disney universe. You know what I'm saying? And they have their own... they have a lot of agents. You know what I'm saying? One of the most notable agents is a character named Steelbeak. And Steelbeak, he's like this James Bond type, you know what I'm saying, type of villain. But he's dope, you know what I'm saying? And you got other villains within this Disney continuity that come from Saint Canard with Darkwing Duck. You've got villains that let's see, who else we got? The Beagle Boys. Listen, the Beagle Boys. I love the Beagle Boys because the Beagle Boys is a fucking organization. All them niggas are beagles. All them niggas wear domino masks and little hats and red shirts, and they're all run by this old woman named Ma Beagle. That, if that's not fucking cinematic, I don't know what it is. All, like, that's... Then you got characters like I can't remember the other billionaire that's supposed to be the number two to Scrooge McDuck, but he also has villains like, he even has a magic based villain called Magica Dispel. Listen, Magica Dispel is hard fucking core. You know what I'm saying? They put her in this reboot. She's manipulating her niece into bringing. Like into bringing down Scrooge, trying to break into Ben, like and she do a lot, you know what I'm saying? Like within this corner of the universe, if they wanted to, they could create a narrative to where it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's excitement at every corner, the same way that Marvel did with the Avengers, you know what I'm saying? The same way that Star Wars did with the Jedi and the Sith. You know what I'm saying? It's not really all that hard. That's all I'm saying. You know, like Disney, y'all, like if y'all gonna do stuff, man, keep in mind that if you're pulling from the 80s, your core audience, your core fan base for that property is probably in their 30s, possibly in their 40s. This has been Crave Reviews, the superhero show where I talk about superhero shit as it pertains to hip-hop culture, things that I like, things that you like, you know what I'm saying, and things that clearly everybody likes because of the success of the superhero genre in 2022. My name is King Spider-Man. You can find me on Instagram at King Spider-Man 720, at Stoners Ball ATL. That's Stoners Ball with a Z. The King Spider-Man is KingSpiderMan 720. Or you can look up at the_red_bricks_saga. I am co-CEO of Fair Squad Entertainment. You can also catch me on the web series, the hit web series, the best web series, Atlanta's Ugly. Get ready for the new season, Atlanta's Ugly 2.0, level up. Shout out to Black Royal Family and my castmates over at Atlanta's Ugly. Shout out to King Yoshi Man and Yoshi Crew. Shout out to DJ Bear. Shout out to Atlanta Hitmakers. And shout out to y'all for listening to me as I gripe about childish things. My name is King Spider-Man, and I will see you next time on Crave Reviews.